Great.
Hello, everyone. It's June the 13th, 2020, in the United States, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Welcome to the Debtors Anonymous Worldwide Conference Call on the Tool of Sponsorship. My name is Diana B. I'll be hosting the call today from 1 to 2:30 on behalf of Debtors Anonymous's Resource Development Committee. A quick technology announcement before we get going. Please note that the call and the speakers are being recorded, but after the speakers have completed their shares and we go to a call-in time, those call-in shares are not being recorded. Moving forward, we use the commands on your phone, *6 to mute and *6 again to unmute yourself. When we get to the point when we're sharing, doing the shares at the end. And we ask that you do the muting to minimize any extraneous noise that may be on the call. So let's open now with a moment of silence, followed by the we version of the Serenity Prayer, and feel free to unmute yourself for the Serenity Prayer. God.
Grant us the serenity
to accept
whatever things we cannot change. The courage to change the things we can,
and the wisdom to know the difference. Quickly, a little bit of background on the mission of the Resource Development Committee of Debtors Anonymous. The mission of the RDC is to create revenue for DA, including one, increasing Seventh Tradition contributions and clarifying the use of the Seventh Tradition funds. Two, encouraging member participation in service at all levels. And three, increase awareness within the DA fellowship, about the importance of self-support in DA at the group, intergroup, and world service levels. The financial goals for the 2019-2020 fiscal year is an increase of 20% in contributions over last fiscal year. Of course, this goal was made before the COVID-19 crisis, but in essence, that goal was set at a contribution level of a little over $153,300. However, as of May 31st, our contributions, although seen a small dip compared to last year as a result of the pandemic, increased individual online contributions in April and May have made up most of that slack, and as of May 31st, we are only $973 behind last year, or less than 1%. The RDC remains optimistic about the growth of the fellowship and the prosperity and abundance of our fellows in DC. Okay, so...
Diana, this is Celia. I'd like to mute everyone and people who want to speak in *6 to bring themselves in, because there's a lot of background noise.
Do you know how to mute
everyone?
Yeah,
it would be a *5. So I'm going to try that now. And that means everyone who speaks, including you and me, will need to press *6 to get back in.
Okay, great.
Okay, so I'm going to do that now. And just everyone who is a speaker or wants to share, remember you have to press *6 to unmute and *6 again to mute again. It's not working, Diana. Can you press *5? That worked. Thank you.
Okay, great. Celia, just a point. You might want to dial back into the call and make sure you're logged in as the host, because I believe these commands are only available to people who are hosts of the meeting.
I see. Thank you. Okay, we'll do.
Just a thought. Okay, great. All right, so moving along, we're going to take a moment and read the DA 12 Steps and 12 Promises, and Barbara H. from the RDC is going to share her melodious voice with us on this. So take it away, Barbara.
Okay, this is Barbara, I'm a debtor. The 12 steps of DA. Service begins with the 12 steps, culminating with step 12, which urges us to carry this message to compulsive debtors. These principles of recovery, particularly step 12, provide the foundation for service, since it is impossible to give away what we do not have. One, we admitted we were powerless over debt. that our lives had become unmanageable. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. We humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. We made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. We made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. We continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive debtors and to practice these principles in all our affairs. 12 traditions. 12 traditions is the idea of DA unity, and it is this principle. Enable us to live in harmony with our fellows. 1. Our common welfare for our group purpose there is but one authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. The only requirement for DA membership is a desire to stop incurring unsecured debt. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the debtor who still suffers. A DA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the DA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Every DA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Debtors Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. DA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Debtors Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the DA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before our personalities.
Thank you so much, Barbara, for reading DA's 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. Now I'd like to introduce our respected and thoroughly enjoyed fellow by the name of Mike L. from Dallas. Mike, are you on the line?
My name's Mike. I'm a compulsive debtor.
Thank you, Mike. And thank you again for agreeing to be the timekeeper on today's meeting. So as we move forward, speakers, please take a moment, and I'll remind you again to let Mike know what sort of notice you'd like. The shares are estimated 15 to 20 minutes, and Mike will be there to give you a little notice of how much time you have left at your request. Okay, the theme of today's conference call is sponsorship, with a special nod to the temporary sponsorship service role. Fellows are going to share their courage, strength, and hope around being a sponsored in Debtors Anonymous. The importance of fellows helping each other in recovery was the foundation of Alcoholics Anonymous from its birth, and sponsorship remains a primary tool in every 12-step program that has been founded since. I turn the call over to our four speakers today from around the globe. We have Jerry from the New York area, Rex from Spain. We have also Teresa from Massachusetts, and we'll round up the day with Chris, who is from Menlo Park, recently relocated. Look forward to hearing them share their experience, strength, and hope on being a sponsor. So first, let's take a moment and introduce Jerry from New York. Jerry, are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me?
I certainly can. Would you take a moment to give Mike, the timekeeper, some idea of what kind of warning you'd like.
Hey, Dylan, Mike, if you could just give me a 5 and 5 and a 5, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you, Jerry. The floor or the phone line is yours.
Thank you very much, Diane. It's good to hear your voice again. My name is Jerry F. I'm a compulsive debtor. I always enjoy qualifying when I can, but I always realize that most of the people I qualify to have heard me before. This is a new thing for me to qualify on a world conference call. So I've decided to break my time up into a couple of segments. The first thing is I want to tell people who I am so I can give some validity to what I'm offering as far as my little pearls of wisdom or nonsense, is depending on how you look at it. I'm Jerry F. I'm from New York, New York. I'm a retired restaurant consultant. I built or fixed over 140 restaurants in the Manhattan area over my career. Based on that, you can figure out that I am not young. I was first introduced to 12-step in 1979 when I got sober, and I've been sober since. In 1984, I entered another fellowship because I had a problem with gambling. In 2002, I went to go quit smoking. I went to a doctor who said, go get a stress test. And the stress test led to a quadruple open-heart surgery bypass. I recovered from that, back to work a couple of weeks later. But I had other physical issues, and in 2011, I was forced to retire. I developed peripheral artery disease severely. I was walking with a cane, couldn't walk upstairs, couldn't walk up hills, and in the restaurant business, that just doesn't cut it. And then in 2014, I came into DA. I stopped working in the restaurant business. Most of my earnings were cash. And I currently get a whopping $1,100 a month in Social Security. This doesn't go far. So I incurred a tremendous amount of debt after I retired in 2011. And in 2014, I finally couldn't do it anymore. And I came to D, and I was very lucky to find a room and a group of people who accepted me and helped me out and got started. Having been in 12-step for over 4 decades and being raised Irish Catholic and in a household of women, because my father had died when I was very young, I was very familiar with service. As a child, I grew up doing service for my neighbors. And my mother was a widow. The neighbor next door was a widow. The neighbor behind us was a widow. So when I mowed the lawn, I mowed 3 lawns. When I shoveled snow, I shoveled 3 pathways of snow. I believe that service is what we're here to do. So much so that in 1968, I entered the seminary and I studied to be a priest for 3 years. But that didn't work out. And my career was in the food service initially, but my final position for the last 30 odd years was as a consultant. And it was my desire to help people succeed in the restaurant industry. In our program, I think one of the greatest gifts that we can give to somebody is to be their sponsor. The sponsor to me is a very intimate relationship. And just like a prenup, I think you need to set ground rules, and I think you need to have an agreement that this is how it's going to work between us. In my years in DA and AA and GA, I have sponsored many, many people. But we always have to come to an agreement of how it's going to work. And the first thing I usually ask a potential sponsee is, what do you expect from me? And what can I offer you? And I listen, and I try and make sure that we're on the same page. After the other person has had a chance to say what they think they're looking for, I tell them, as a sponsor, I have 2 jobs. The first job is crisis management. When you feel like you're going to slip, when you're pulling your hair out, when you have had enough and you just want to scream at the world, call your sponsor and let them talk you off the ledge.
And Jerry, you use 5 minutes. All right.
Thank you, Mike. The second job as a sponsor is to work the steps, because the steps are the entire program. We have many other tools, unlike other programs that don't have tools. We have a list of 12 tools that work for us, PRGs, action plans, spending plans, okay, and so on and so forth. But the steps are how we get healthy. The steps are how we get sane. The steps are how we can garner a sense of serenity in our lives. And as a sponsor, there are things that are not my job. I am not your therapist. I can't help you with your childhood. I can't help you with your wife. I can't help you with your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. That's not my job. My job is to help you get, talk you off the ledge and help you to become a healthier person. I have things that I believe are the right way to be a sponsor. I have never, ever, nor will I ever tell somebody what to do. That's not my job, to tell you what to do. I'm not your mother, your father, your uncle. You need to figure that out for yourself with guidance. My job is to make suggestions on how it might work or how it might help you. Those suggestions should be based on one of two things and one of two things only. My personal experience on what worked for me, or the experience and voice of others, but with their permission. We cannot repeat what we hear in a room. We can hear somebody's story that might help somebody, but we don't have the right to repeat that story unless we have permission. I have asked permission from 100 people over my years. Is it okay if I share your story with somebody? I think it might help them. And that's the way I work my sponsorship. That's the way I think I can do the best job for somebody who needs help. There's one thing that I'd like to read, and I don't usually read when I'm qualifying, okay? But this is something that was given to me in 1979, and I have used and given to every one of my sponsees ever since. And it's a little card, just like we have 12 steps and 12 traditions and 12 promises. There is in some programs a list of 12 steps of the sponsor. And I'd like to share them with you because I believe this encapsulates everything we need to be for somebody else. And step one is, I will not help you stay and wallow in limbo. Step two, I will help you grow to become more productive by your own definition. Three, I will help you become more autonomous, more loving of yourself, more free to continue becoming the authority of your own living. Four, I cannot give you dreams or fix you up, simply because I cannot. Five, I cannot give you growth or grow for you. You must grow yourself by facing reality, grim as it may seem at times. Six, I cannot take away your loneliness or pain. Seven, I cannot send you a world for you, evaluate your goals, or tell you what is best for you in your world. You have your own world. Eight, I cannot convince you of the crucial choice of choosing the scary uncertainty of growing over the safe misery of not growing. Nine, I want to be with you and know you as a rich and growing friend. Yet I cannot get close to you when you choose not to grow. 10, when I begin to care for you out of pity, when I begin to lose trust in you, then I am toxic, bad, and inhibiting for you and for me. 11, you must know my help is conditional. I will be with you, hang in there with you as long as I continue to get even the slightest hint that you are trying to grow. 12. If you can accept all of this, then perhaps we can help each other to become what God meant us to be, mature adults, leaving childishness forever to little children. That's how I
approach. And Jerry,
approach.
You've used 10 minutes now.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Again, this is my way of doing things. And God knows that I've been wrong in so many things. I could be wrong in this, but it has been working for me for years. I have a lot of grateful and dear, trusting friends through my sponsorship. And I believe that I may just have been helped to somebody. And if I have been, I thank God for that. I believe that temporary sponsorship, which is part of the focus of this call today, is truly an important thing. Especially as Diana said in the beginning of the meeting, or has voted in her notes, with the financial pain that's going along with the COVID right now, and so many people not knowing where to turn. I think that people who have been afraid to step up to be a sponsor, that may have been unsure if they were qualified or unsure if they had enough wisdom to share, if they were clear enough in their own direction and definition, can easily become a temporary sponsor. I think, for me anyway, a temporary sponsor has two primary responsibilities. And that is to teach people where the rooms are, the meetings are, whether they be on Zoom or on the phone or eventually hopefully back in person, to help people learn about the tools, to help them with basic record keeping. Everybody can add and subtract. If they start there, that's a good start. And focusing on step one, okay, realizing that this is a disease. This is not a character defect. This is not a defect of morals. This is a disease, okay? And we need to take our medicine, and our medicine is going to meetings and doing our numbers and having a PRG and having a sponsor. In the big book, chapter 5 is the chapter on how. H-O-W, honest, open, and willing. I think that needs to be endowed on a new member of our fellowship on how this works. It's as much us as it is them, and they have to have certain willingness and honesty to move forward in their health, in their contact with a higher power. Let's leave the other steps up to the permanent sponsor. Let's try and get enough people focused on getting themselves immediately comfortable.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I thought there was a meeting here at 1:30 related to sponsorship. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm speaking on it at the moment.
This is another meeting?
The meeting is from 1 to 2:30, so you're slightly late, but welcome and thank you. If you could start 6, that would be great.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry for interrupting. Sorry.
No problem. Sorry for the interruption, Jerry.
Not a problem, Diane. I was just wrapping up anyway. Mike, I think I've killed most of my time. I want to thank everybody for the opportunity of being serviced today, and I hope I made sense to somebody out there. Thanks for letting me share, guys.
Thank you, Jerry.
Very powerful share, Jerry. Thank you so much for your service. It's Diana again, just taking a moment to greet everybody that's joined the meeting. Our second speaker for today, this is a worldwide fellowship call on sponsorship through Debtors Anonymous. Our next speaker comes to us from Spain. We are a worldwide fellowship, and I'm thrilled to be able to introduce to you Rex, who is going to share his experience, strength, and hope on sponsorship. Rex, are you on the line? You could star 6.
Oh,
Hi, Diana. I am on the line. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely.
Why don't you take
a moment and let Mike know what kind of warning you need?
All right. Thank you. Mike, we're speaking for 15 minutes or 20 minutes. What is the time that we're working with?
You have 20 minutes available to you.
Okay. All right. If you would, I guess, just give me a notice, Mike, when there's 5 minutes left and when there's 1 minute left, I'd appreciate it.
We'll do so.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rex. I am a debtor and a very grateful member of this program. It is an honor to be able to speak. It's a little bit intimidating, which is unusual for me because I love to talk. I love to be heard. But I also recognize the gifts of the other people on this call and the gifts they have given to this program. And I hope that I can be of help to someone today. I know it's helping me to be here to be part of Worldwide Service. I came into this program approximately 14 years ago. And like so many, I came in defeated. I came in scared to death, not knowing where to go. And I also came in at about 55 years of age. It was also my first 12-step program. I had no awareness of it. I grew up in an alcoholic family, a family riddled with alcoholism, violence. I did not recognize the pattern of riches to poverty, compulsive spending, debting that surrounded me. And didn't really recognize it until I got into DA. But I'd like to share with you an event in my life that changed my behavior. I don't know if I always would have been a debtor, if it was just predestined, or if I fell afoul of the disease later. But I was a young lad, and I delivered newspapers. And it was a cool job. I would get there every day after school, get my newspapers. And for all of you in DA who carry those little notebooks, this will sound so familiar. I had a little notebook, and I was required in that notebook to have the name of every person who lived on my paper route. And every month was a separate page with the 4 or 5 weeks, and I recorded what they paid, whether they paid, how much they paid, what amount of that of a tip was mine, what amount of that the newspaper allowed me to get. And at the end of the week, all the numbers totaled. And it was wonderful. And I looked at that book, and it wasn't work. It was me watching my money grow. And after my first 2 weeks, I went to my parents and said, okay, let's go to the bank. I want to open a savings account. And my dad said, don't worry about a savings account. Just give the money to me. I'll take care of it. When you're ready to buy a car when you're 16, I'll have your money all set for you. And so I did as I was told. And of course, you all know the end of the story, which was that I went for the money. And I was told, I'll be more polite in the words, but I was told I was lucky to have an effing roof over my head, that I was lucky that I had been fed, and to never ask for a dime again. That money was spent, and it was the last time, and I was about 12 when that happened. After 4 years of this, I'd saved almost $1,000 back in the 50s. And that was the last time, that was honestly until DA, the last time I ever recorded a dime of my spending again. When I went to banks and opened up checking accounts, I'd write the first one, maybe two checks in, and then never even look at it again. When I got my first debit card, when debit cards came out brand new, I didn't realize it was a debit card. I realized it was a money card. And I actually laughed the first couple of times I went to the bank machine thinking the bank will never know whether I have money in my account. I'm just going to keep withdrawing money and spending it. That was my awareness. That was my disease already full-blown by the time I was 15 or 16 and through the time I was 20 and beyond. I lived that way for all of my adult life.
I made, fortunately, through the helping hands of others and the offers of others, I was led into jobs that I could do that in some ways that I excelled at. I don't have a college education. I'm a high school graduate, but I ended up in the financial field. I ended up a commodity broker, and then for a number of firms, a global director of sales of financial research, where I was providing guidance and advice to some of the most powerful financial people in the hedge funds and banks in the world. And I couldn't know from week to week whether I had money in the bank, because if it was there, it was spent, as a pure compulsive spender with no awareness. When I came into DA, I came into DA because of a failing relationship, and a big part of that failing relationship, almost all of it, was around my mishandling of money, my lack of an adult relationship with money. And I came in to the meeting. It was in a church, and there were three people there. And it was exactly what I feared, because the person leading the meeting was missing most of his teeth, didn't have a whole lot of hair, had challenges with his speech. But halfway through the meeting, between that man and two other people, I heard where they had been, where they were today, and where they hoped to be tomorrow. And I knew I wanted what they had, so I kept coming. I walked into DA owing approximately $100,000 to the federal government taxes, over $30,000 in debt to the state, $38,000 in credit card debt, $38,000 in credit card debt, $34,000 to Sallie Mae for the remainder of my son's college, and roughly $15,000, $18,000 in debt to attorneys. And I've worked this program very imperfectly over time, but I've tried to listen, and I go to meetings, and I talk with my sponsor, and I talk with my sponsees, and I listen to my sponsor, and I listen to my sponsees, and magically, little by little, the more than 100,000 IRS debt is down to about 18,000. There's 16,000 left on the student debt. There is no state tax debt. There is no credit card debt. And there's about 3,500 left of a newer attorney bill that exists today. Along the way, through the miracle of Debtors Anonymous, I rented apartments even when married with a son, and was evicted from an apartment even when married with a son because of my debting. And in March of this year, just a few short months ago, my wife and I paid cash for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, burning land surrounded by mountains.
I'm sorry, Rex, could you get closer to the mic? You're fading.
Sorry? Is that better?
Much better, thank you.
Okay, thank you for telling me. My wife owns the majority of the home. The deed is written that way because she put the majority of the money in, but I was able to contribute significant 5 figures into the home to be able to purchase it. And it's mine as well as hers, and we're working on it every day. It is a miracle even I can't believe in some ways, in that I look at my past to reflect on it, not to dwell on it, but I look at my past so that I can appreciate the present and so I can look forward to tomorrow, which never occurred in my life before. I woke up every morning with a knot of fear, and it is rare I have that knot of fear even for an hour anymore, because the old second promise of DA, which is out of AA, our founding program, said that we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. I have been gifted with that growth that now when something comes up unexpectedly monetarily, it still does. There are still times something surprises me. Sometimes it's I could have done better at being aware with my numbers. Other times it just happens that it was a surprise. And I now know how to deal with them without fear. I know higher powers got my back, and I know to pick up the phone and call my sponsor. So let's talk about sponsorship, which is the key part of this call. For me, when I first came into program, I came in, started attending meetings, book, start writing my numbers. I wrote my numbers. I went to the meetings. I heard this alien PRG thing so many times. It was three or four meetings before I worked up the courage to ask, what the hell is a PRG? And found out that it was a pressure relief group, with the key being on the word relief. That made sense to me. And I asked the one and was told to keep my numbers for approximately 90 days and had my first PRG. But as I attended the meetings, I felt frustrated and I felt a little desperate. I felt lost still because I didn't know what the hell to do next. I was going to meetings. I was listening. I heard recovery. I was writing my numbers. I was gaining awareness. I was getting better. But I didn't know what to do next. And then I heard a voice that had resonated previously at a meeting. And I swore, and I still swear to higher power, that person, when they went around the room and said, who's willing to sponsor, do PRGs, and take phone calls, that this person, this guy, this hands that I can sponsor. I went up to him right after that meeting. It was the first time any guy had said, yes, I can sponsor. I went up to him after the meeting. He looked at me and said, I didn't say I could sponsor. I said I could do PRGs. I'm only on like step 5. And I said, yeah, but I need a sponsor. I'm in sales. I tend to ignore objections and go for what I want. And so the attorney said, you know what? Let me talk to my sponsor, and I'll talk with you next Saturday. And this was at the meeting in Brookline in Boston, outside of Boston. And he came back that next Saturday, and he said, Rex, let's give it a try. I've not been a sponsor before. I want you to know that. And I'm now working step 6, and I will work you on the steps that I've already worked. And I'll help you, but you have to agree to work the steps. And all of that fear I had just went away because someone was going to show me what to do. I didn't mind doing work. I just needed to know what the hell to do. And that was my first sponsor in any program. And I think of him dearly today. And we worked the steps, and we would meet in person once a week, and I'd see him at meetings, and I'd call him or text him when I had questions. And it was step 1. My life was unmanageable. I knew it. I was powerless over daddy. I had no problem with that. I was easily able to recognize that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And I had already been prepped by my psychologist at the time that I was going to hear that dreaded word, G-O-D, one that I wasn't comfortable with at the time. And it was easy enough to translate that into group of debtors, because I believe those people in that meeting, in any meeting, knew more than I did. It's one of the first times in my life I've ever been, because I had been raised to believe that I could do anything when he shuts his mind. If he doesn't, he's a failure, which led me to believe I was a failure for most of my life until I got the grace and the fortune of being in program. That was my first sponsor in the program, and he was in the program until step 9, working through step 9 and making direct amends to save people wherever possible. And then,
Rex, could you get closer to the mic again? You're drifting. Sorry.
Sorry, I'm actually wearing an earpiece, not moving away from it, but I'm going to push it more toward me.
And you've got 5 minutes left, Rex.
Mike, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'm actually going to take this off the earpiece and go with the direct phone to my ear and see if that provides better sound. Bear with me, please. Diana, is your volume more clear?
Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you all. I went about 2 years without a sponsor in DA, and then realized I was also drifting and seeing problems within it, and asked for another, and was very grateful that I received one. I've had in DA, I'm blessed now to have a sponsor in DA that I met when I was in New York. person that I respect, a person that I regard as a friend, someone who has been bluntly honest with me at every step of the way, which is something I very much appreciate. He told me exactly what was needed from me, which was that I would commit to the work and that he would commit to trying to help me with that. And I've called him on a number of occasions, including whether or not to buy a wedding ring, an engagement ring for my wife, even though we'd already been married, and what to buy, and was it okay, and I'm spending a lot of money, is it okay? I can remember babbling to him, and he basically smiled and said, do you want to buy the ring for her? And I said, absolutely, yes. He said, then go buy the ring. You can afford it. You have the money. Those are the blessings that I've gotten to share with the sponsor. Also, for me, about 10 years ago, in my other program, when my life was falling apart, I reached out to someone on the West Coast, close to me, and said, I need a sponsor. I need a sponsor badly. At the time, I didn't have one in DA. And she sent me a name and a phone number and said, call this person. And I called that person in tears, and this deep, wonderful, loving voice got on the phone and talked with me for about an hour. And at the end of the call, I said, so you're going to be my sponsor in DA? And he chuckled, laughed, and said, well, for now, we're going to work on DA as well, and you're going to continue to work on DA, but I also want you in another program. And that person became my sponsor in Al-Anon, who has been my sponsor there for the last, 9 years now, and is also one of my dearest friends. What I've been given in sponsorship is the gift of knowing that I can reach out to someone that I trust implicitly with my life, literally trust them with my life, and can share anything with them. To walk through a fifth step with a sponsor and bare your soul and talk of everything you've ever listed in your fourth step, of everything you've ever done wrong, and have this person hold up a gentle mirror, and in some cases for me say, look, you were 9 years old then, you were a child, what you said to your father, or hating your father, or whatever, to hold me accountable for being an adult, but not punish me for being a child, and not punish me for having a disease, but instead embrace me. I hope every day when I wake up that I can do for anyone else what my current two sponsors do for me on a daily basis, which is give me love, respect, and guidance. I've been a temporary sponsor to a number of people who have just said, I need some help. I said, well, I'll be glad to help you get started. Let me know if you want to do more. And I get them started on getting a little notebook and writing it down. I get them started on a step. For me to be a permanent sponsor, though, my sponsees must agree and have agreed to work the steps. For me, I believe the salvation is in the steps. The 12th step says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. And I believe all those words were guided by higher power. The result, all 12 steps are so that we can have a spiritual awakening. So for me, the steps lead us to the miracle, and the miracle is the steps. And to go into a strange land without a guide, I would have been lost all my life. Instead, I was able to go into a strange and new land with guides that had been there who were willing to share their strength, their hope, their experiences, and especially their love, so that I could then do it with others. I'm grateful every day for my sponsees. Thank you, Michael. I'm grateful every day for my sponsees, for the recovery they bring to me every day. I laugh at myself because I'm constantly suggesting, because we never give advice, we only suggest. So I strenuously suggest to my sponsees things they should do, and invariably as I'm off the phone saying, you know, that's what you ought to be doing right now, Rex. And that's the circle of sponsorship, from sponsee to sponsor to sponsee back to sponsor. I think both of my sponsors are on the phone today. I hope they are. If they aren't, it doesn't matter. I love them both dearly. I am so grateful to them, and I am so grateful to my sponsees. If you are on this phone and you're on the second step, be a sponsor. You can sponsor somebody up to the first step. If you're on the fifth step, be a sponsor. Take them to the fourth step. But the joy and the recovery you will gain from being a sponsor, you'll thank your sponsees for the rest of your life. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your share, Rex.
Thank you very much.
That was wonderful. Sort of moving along time-wise, we're going to take a moment here and ask Teresa if you could star your six yourself and get on the line. Teresa comes to us from Massachusetts, and I'm so looking forward to hearing her courage, strength, and hope on the topic of sponsorship and temporary sponsorship today. Thank you. Teresa, are you on the line?
Yes. Can you hear me?
If you could give, yeah, you sound great. Could you give Mike some idea of what kind of warnings you got?
Sure. Mike, if you could give me 10 and 5 and 1, that would be great.
Will do.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Teresa. I'm a debtor. And it is, thank you, everybody, for your service on the meeting. And it's a real honor to be on this call. And it's sort of very, it's nerve-wracking as well. But I put it in higher power's hands and trust that what comes through my lips is coming from higher power's mind. You know, the tool of sponsorship, we found it essential to our recovery to have a sponsor and to be a sponsor. A sponsor is a recovering debtor who guides us and shares through this death and shares his or her own experience. So, you know, to me this says, first of all, to have a recovery, I need to be a sponsor. I am not recovered. I am in recovery. I am just maybe a couple of steps ahead than my sponsees in that moment. And I have the essential piece of it is that I am sharing my experience. I don't know more. Maybe I know a little bit more, but I have some experience that I can share with my sponsees. And I'll just start by saying a little bit about myself. I came into DA in 2013. I think it's either April or May 2013. So it's about 7 years ago. And I had almost $40,000 in debt between a little over $33,000 in credit card debt and over $6,000 in debt to the IRS and to the state of Massachusetts. I hadn't reached the point yet where I had creditors calling me, but I knew I was very close to that because I was reaching the stage where the minimum payments on the credit card debts were just becoming impossible or next to impossible. And I was terrified. I was sick with worry. I wasn't sleeping. And I had heard of DA a few years previously and kept coming up with reasons for why I couldn't go to meetings. The meeting that was closest to me was on a Saturday morning at 8:30, and I thought, well, I work on Saturdays. And then, you know, after a couple of years of that, I said, yeah, but you're self-employed. You can set your own hours. You can go to that meeting and you can start work whenever you want. And finally, I got myself to that meeting on a Saturday morning at 8:30, and I knew from the first minute that I was in the right place. I heard people telling my story, sharing experiences that were very similar, and sharing the fears. And just the behaviors, I couldn't, you know, it was so, I said, was relieving to realize that, you know, these behaviors that I thought that I had, that I thought meant I was, you know, I was an immoral person. That, you know, what was wrong with me? Why can I not get this? And to hear other people say that they struggle to get it too, and but that they did. It was possible to find recovery. It was possible to change, and that there were simple tools, not necessarily easy ones, but there were simple tools to get to the point of to start recovery and to grow in recovery. And I, you know, I chose to believe them. When I look back at it now, I think, like, why did I believe? I don't know. I do know it was higher power. I was ready. I was desperate enough to listen. I had reached the point where I knew I was powerless. I knew that I could not do this on my own. When I went, you know, I know that when I started, when I first went in there, what I thought I was going to get was advice on how to get out of debt. And that would be, it was simple, practical advice on what to do. And then I would be fine. I could start all over again and I would be okay. Gradually the realization came upon me that's not what was going to happen. That I had to, you know, I had to work this program. I remember the first PRG I had maybe about 4 months in, and the two women who did that first PRG with me, they, you know, one of their suggestions was pray. And I must have been long enough in the program that I knew the importance of prayer in this work, because I didn't laugh at them. You know, I know that I would have laughed previously if somebody had said, you're going to get out of your debt by praying. And so I took their advice, and another piece of advice they gave me was find a sponsor. At that point I still hadn't gotten a sponsor. So there was a woman I had heard her speak a number of times. She seemed, what drew me to her was her kindness and her gentleness, and also she would say lots of times, and when she shared, that her higher power had a sense of humor. And I thought, okay, she sounds like somebody that I could talk to, that I could share with. And she agreed to be my sponsor. And I am blessed to say that she's still my sponsor. And I sponsor in the same way, well, maybe not exactly the same way, but sort of in the same way she sponsored me. And I'm sort of nervous saying this because I realize it's not what everybody else has said about how they sponsor. I don't use the steps when I sponsor. I sponsor primarily using the tools. My DA sponsor, she kept encouraging me to do the Big Book step study process. And that's how I did the steps. DA is my only program, was my first program and is my only program. When I did the steps through the Big Book step study process, I mean, the focus was debting and money. But I did it with another person in DA who had also done the steps in that way. So it's somewhat of a different experience, and I talk about higher power all the time with my sponsees. I and I encourage them to do the steps. Many of them have done the steps through the Big Book Step Study, and it's pretty strong here in Massachusetts. And that's how they have done the steps. And we continually talk about the steps. But I find that there is so much time in a way taken up with the tools that seems to fill up our conversations. I usually speak with my sponsees twice a week for 15 minutes. There are a couple that I just talk to once a week, but generally I speak to them for 15 minutes twice a week. And they're free to call me at other times if something comes up.
You've used that.
Thank you, Mike. Then on the steps, the twelfth step says that having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive debtors. And so our spiritual growth is the result of working the steps, of working our program. And we tried to carry the message to compulsive debtors. And so it's in the text of that, and when you read the text of the 12 steps, either in DA or out of the Big Book, there are many different kinds of service. But the sponsorship, to me, has been a really real blessing to me to work with other people. The thing I always try to keep in mind when I sponsor is how, the gentleness and the kindness that my sponsor shows to me when I've called her in desperation, or her encouragement when I have success, when there's success. And I try to very imperfectly repeat that in my work, in my interactions with my sponsees. And all of the time I have to remember how I was when I first came in. I was frightened. I was incredibly needy. I had very low self-esteem. I really thought that there was something morally wrong with me, that I couldn't get this. And and thought that all I lacked was self-discipline. And constantly asking myself, what was wrong with me? There just seemed to be something seriously wrong with me that other members of my family didn't have. And so I have to remind myself of that all the time, especially when I am, in my very humanness, in my very in my life, my tendency to make mistakes, to get things wrong, I have to and to be inclined to maybe not be as kind or as gentle as I should be with my sponsees. I just remind myself of what it was like the first time I came in, so that I can find the compassion, and then also the truth that this doesn't have to be the way it always is. Yes, right now you're frightened. Right now you are. You don't think much of yourself. You're in low self-esteem. You are unclear of where to go. You have no idea. You're feeling compulsive. But there is a way out. There is a way out. This is how you might be able to do it. I did it this way. Maybe this works for you. Maybe there's another way you can do it. To be able to find that place in myself so that I can offer some guidance. I have worked with sponsees who, I'll start that again. When I'm working with sponsees, I don't have to be in the same economic, I don't have to have the same economic status they have. I don't have to have had the same childhood they had, either a better one, a worse one, the same one. I don't have to be in as much debt as they are. I was a debtor sometimes. Other people are in DA. They're not necessarily debtors. They have other compulsive behaviors around debting. I don't have to have exactly the same behaviors as they did. And I can still be a sponsor. I just have to find a place where I can connect with them. I can share my experience and share it in a way that it helps them to find the way out. I don't have to be perfect. I am a recovering debtor, a debtor in recovery, and our own little book says it is an ongoing process.
Five minutes.
Thank you. Another thing I try to be clear about when I sponsor is that I'm not your therapist. I'm not your mother. I'm not your best friend. We may become friends as we work together, but I don't have all the answers. I'm not going to pretend I have all the answers. You may have to look other places for other answers. And just to be honest about that, to say it kindly, and not get it can be. It can be tempting to get drawn into every problem the person has, and I certainly have to watch myself when I speak to my sponsees, because I had a habit in over the years of taking on all these broken winged birds and trying to fix them, and when they didn't get fixed, I'd resent them. And so I have to be very careful not to do that when I sponsor in DA. And when I'm having issues with sponsees, which sometimes comes up, I talk to my own sponsor. I call other people who who have more experience in the program and who I'm sure are very compassionate sponsors. And without breaking anyone's anonymity, I get advice, I get help. And this is the thing about this program: we're here for each other, we can help each other out. And my sponsees help me out. I'm constantly being wowed by people's honesty, by their willingness, the way they walk through their fears, their humility as they share their in a very honest way exactly who they are. And just to say a little bit on the temporary sponsorship, I suppose I've never done that officially, but I've often just, helped to get people started. And I've had sponsees who have been with me for a while and then either decided to move on to another sponsor. And that's somehow or other, there's this amazing gift for this program that when people have done that, I have been able to let them go with just complete detachment and not get wound up in, oh, how bad am I that they left me, and just able to let them go graciously to someone who can help them more than I can. And that's higher power. That is definitely not me. And I'd just like to end with a little piece that's on page 62 of our 12-step book. It's on the 12-step Now our lives are characterized by genuineness and a desire to be of service. That's what I want. And being of service, when I am genuinely want to be of service, my life has somehow or other gotten so much better, and I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so, so much, Teresa. And to keep an eye on the time, I'm just going to quickly say how thrilled we are to sort of embrace Chris's courage, strength, and hope. Chris comes to us from Menlo Park in the Northern California area, recently relocated to the eastern area of Pennsylvania, but we love her from all coasts. And so we look forward to hearing Chris's courage, strength, and hope. Chris, if you could let Mike know what kind of warnings you'd like.
Sure. Thank you so much. Mike, if you would give me a 10, a 5, and a 1, please.
Will do so.
So my name is Chris, and I am a debtor. And I have been a listener now for an hour, and I'd like to segue into being a speaker by sharing the Serenity Prayer myself with you, and in a format that I've learned from several other members in the program. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Grant me patience for things that take time, appreciation for all that I have, tolerance for others with different struggles, and the strength to get up and try again, one day at a time. Thy will, not mine, be done. So, as Diana said, my home meeting for DA is a BDA meeting in Menlo Park, California. And Menlo Park is located just a stone's throw north of Palo Alto and about 30 miles south of San Francisco on the peninsula. And I walked into that meeting in May of 2009. And my first walk into a 12-step room was sometime around 2000 or 2002, and I was in such a fog, I still can't quite remember exactly when it was, but that was an Al-Anon meeting, and I was sent by a therapist who, after a year of dealing with marital crisis, she suggested that I was out of crisis and that if I wanted to grow, she'd strongly suggest that I go to these meetings because the dynamics I was explaining about or mentioning in the household that I was in then, which was my husband and my two children who would have been elementary school age, resembled that of a home affected by the disease of alcoholism. And she suggested that the stories might sound familiar. And in those rooms, as I stayed, I heard it said, if the story sounds familiar, shake the family trees and the alcoholics will fall out. I mention that today because having heard one of the prior speakers mention that as an origin of family origin, what that meant was there was a lot of manipulation of truth. There was a lot of, there were not principles by which to live. There were, what might I get away with? How might I take advantage of you? and truth was told to be true, but the same truth was not consistent all the time. And so, and there was a real fear of ever being wrong about anything. And so I never knew growing up that I was a smart kid. And when I told it at my nearly 50th high school reunion, I told my biology teacher that, and he said, well, wasn't it a clue that you were in advanced biology as a freshman? And I said, no, not at all. I just thought that's what was expected of me. And so I bring these up now because looking back, we look lightly at the past in order to understand our present and be able to vision a different future. And there's some clicking in the background. If someone could star six, that would be helpful. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. Right. So I thought I was stupid that I couldn't get our family checkbook to balance or couldn't understand where the money was going. And I had graduated with honors. I have a master's degree. You know, I can figure out systems and I can get book smart. And yet I couldn't figure out why I couldn't make the numbers make sense. And early on in my careers, I made enough money that I had money in the bank. You know, debt was not part of my life until I was married. So by the time I got to DA, I had started in Al-Anon. A few years later, I got into Overeaters Anonymous and then moved forward into DA. And I say that because food and money on both of them, if you're out of bounds, if you overdo or underdo, or if you're not realistic about it, then you're not dealing with reality. And that was something I didn't know how to do. So in 2009, I learned how to begin writing down what all of our monthly bills were, checking it with my husband to say, what am I missing, adding in whatever was missing, and did that for several months, and it still didn't balance. And what finally became true was that there was spending he was doing outside of anything he was being honest about. And because of that, and because of my codependence, I kept taking money out of our home equity line of credit to pay the bills every month. And that wasn't realistic or dealing with reality because that money was depleting. And what we had gotten that money for was to pay our portion of our two kids' college education. They were both in college at the time of this remarkable discovery that I made that my husband wasn't being truthful and that I was kiting credit cards from one percentage to another so that I could save and do this and miss a date and then have to pay penalties and the interest went up. And, you know, it was just a mess that was so difficult to keep track of. But once I knew the truth and I had the support of DA, I could put a line in the sand and say, I cannot go in debt any further. And it meant that I needed to tell my kids we didn't have enough for them to finish college. It meant selling the house to get out of debt. And now fast forward, through different means, my kids each finished college. I'm 10 years divorced, and I have moved in the last year and a half from California to Pennsylvania. Who does that? Well, I did that because I was free-falling into God's will for me, and there was not any one instance or one reason why that made sense. But when it looked at each of the reasons of where my kids were living, I was single, I have now bought a condo, I know all of my numbers, I love this little town that I'm living in. The one thing that's missing is strong recovery. No recovery in Debtors Anonymous. So I'm grateful for these Zoom meetings because I've been able to reconnect face-to-face with my home group in Menlo Park, California. So what about sponsorship and temporary sponsorship? So in our third tool in the DA pamphlet, it says, we have found it essential to our recovery to have a sponsor and to be a sponsor. A sponsor is a recovering debtor who guides us through the 12 steps and shares his or her own experience, strength, and recovery. As you've heard from some of the other speakers, this relationship can be years and years long. Well, as someone that was very reticent to commit to anything, that kind of a commitment would be almost overwhelming, well, definitely overwhelming. And the fact that I've had trouble with boundaries, you know, how much is too much, how little is too little, that's a challenge for me also. So.
And you've used 10 minutes.
Thank you, Mike. So in our Menlo Park meeting, in our description of our service positions, there's one of our service positions is temporary sponsor. And this is not a definition that is DA-wide. This is one that came from a consensus of our meeting and what we could commit to in order to help a newcomer feel good, come in, be welcomed, and be supportive. So here are the duties. A temporary sponsor works with another Karen, new, so it may or may not be a new member, but another member for approximately 30 days. Ha, there's a limit, boundary, to answer questions, general questions, introduce them to other meetings, orient them to literature, help them start writing down their numbers using DA conference-approved literature, such as The Numbers, One Approach. Help them to set up a PRG, a pressure relief group. Help them find a permanent sponsor with whom to work the steps. So I didn't know about this temporary sponsor thing when I came into the rooms. And when things were being read, all of the service positions and everything else, I was still in such a blur. And as I read through it now and can feel the comfort of being able to have had someone that just gently walks me through the very beginnings, and that it's known from the get-go that that's what the role is for that person. Oftentimes, that temporary sponsorship will evolve into a permanent sponsorship or a longer term. But whether I'm asked to be or volunteering to be a temporary sponsor or whether I am a person's go-to sponsor for the program, one of the first things that I talk about with that new person is that I see sponsorship not as a years-long relationship, because I can't see what the years ahead will be, and neither do you. And I don't know if what I have to give is going to be what you need to hear or use or have in the years ahead or even months ahead. But I want to congratulate you for the courage that you had to ask me to sponsor you. That in and of itself is a huge step. And I like to think of sponsorship or recovery as a path, a long journey, and rather than seeing it as an asphalt highway that we're trying to get to the other end of, I like to think of it more as cobblestones or stepping stones on a path. And you and I will be together on this first stepping stone for as long as that makes good sense. And so with the temporary sponsorship, you've already walked walked along two different stepping stones. You had the courage to begin, and you're talking with me now. And I really liked hearing from several of my previous speakers on this call a key word that they both mentioned, and that was to listen. And to listen to my sponsor and to listen to my sponsees. To ask, what do you expect and how can I help you? And then I listen. And listening is not something that I grew up learning about. It's something that I learned about in the room. And that power of just listening to someone else who, like me, may have never been listened to before without being corrected or should upon or told what I ought to do or that I'm stupid. And so just that in temporary sponsorship, to have a hand held to walk down the first two cobblestones on this path, what a great start. And in the big book, in the chapter 7 that begins working with others, it says, life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Now, when Diana was introducing me, she
four
said...
4 minutes, actually.
Diana said, and we love you, Chris. I've never met Diana before, and yet I felt that love because we do love each other in a most magnanimous way. And at the beginning of the meeting, it was shared that with the challenges of COVID are coming people's challenges with finances. And maybe they had challenges before, and maybe this is a bottom that brought them to DA. And good for them. And if we're to help them, I think the tool of temporary sponsorship with boundaries that are clear to the person, to both people, so that the expectation is realistic, the friendship is real, and the guidance is there. I think it's a tremendous service that we can each offer. And I'm so grateful to have been asked to be on this call, because now I know I'm going to look for more phone or Zoom DA meetings, because it's just a fellowship like none other. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris. I know that we're coming to the end of our 90-minute call, but I am going to give a quick seventh tradition announcement, which is the every DA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And contributions for this fellowship call can be made by check paid directly to DA-GSB, and mailed to the Debtors Anonymous address in Needham, Massachusetts, which is P.O. Box 920888. That's P.O. Box 920888, Needham, Massachusetts, 02492. You can also go to the DebtorsAnonymous.com website and make an online contribution using the contribution button with a U.S. bank debit card only. So thank you for letting me make that announcement. Again, sort of stepping back, thank you so much to our four speakers, Jerry, Rex, Teresa, and Chris. And we've got 5 more minutes. I know it's not much time, but we've got *6 to unmute yourself, *6 to mute again. And if anybody would like to comment or raise their hands and speak, I think we have time for two 3-minute shares.
Diana, this is...
Hi, this is June.
Hi, June.
Hi.
We need to stop recording the call for the speakers, Diana.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. We
and
need to stop
to
the recording. Bear with
the
me.
The website is debtorsanonymous.org. Thank you.
Debtorsanonymous.org, right? And now, yes. So you're right. I made that error. Okay. So are you, can you unmute, do the
yes,
star 9?
Yes, I'm going to try to do it. Stop the recording.